All right, and the reading, Gospel of Mark 9:30-37.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The chosen one is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's an honor and a joy to be with you this morning. As was already stated, my name is Joe Davis, and I am a spoken word poet and teaching artist. And the way that I preach the gospel is primarily through poetry. And so I'll be sharing some poetry with you during the sermon today. And I invite you all's participation through saying amen or clapping or snapping or however the Spirit moves. I will be sharing that today. And really what I wanted to delve into, what the Spirit has been speaking to me in my life, is the beauty of the garden. And there's reference to some of this language and some of this metaphor of the garden in our earlier readings. They talk about the tree and the fruit. And the whole scripture, the whole Bible is full of this garden language. I think that was God's original plan, was just to hang out with a couple of naked people in the garden. But somewhere along the way, we got things mixed up, we got things twisted, and we kind of broke out of that relationship. And I think we all have this longing to again be in right relationship with God, with each other, with the land. And so that's what I want to delve into, using the scriptural context and using our relationships and things that we experience. I've really been getting into gardening lately. I'm not a gardener. I got a preference that I don't think I have the green thumb. But I'm delving into it more and more, learning a great deal about it. And what I love about the garden is that it's rich with knowledge and rich with wisdom. I mean, the garden is full of struggle, but the garden is also full of hope. And as we know from reading our scriptures, that there is birth and burial and death and resurrection in the garden. The garden is where it all started in the creation story. And Jesus even went back to the garden before his crucifixion to pray and to meditate and to cry out to God. There's all these sorts of beautiful things that grow in the garden. I think above all else, the garden is a place of growth. And so I want to take that wisdom that's in there, and that's it's a metaphorical language, but it also speaks to our reality, what we can learn from the garden, what we can learn from the scriptures. And I think it all comes from these practices. I think it takes practice to help grow something in a garden just as well as in our lives. And that's what I've been delving into. I read this article that said that growing your own food is one of the most revolutionary and impactful things you can do. Because you're outside, you're in nature, you can connect with your neighbors, connect with other people of different backgrounds, different ages. You're cutting out the middleman when it comes to, like, you know, we have all these fast food restaurants and these corner stores with junk food, but you can get fresh food literally right there in your yard. It's right there. And all these things are beautiful and powerful gifts that we have right in front of us. And I think that's one of the lessons of the garden, is there's an abundance of gifts that God has already given us if we learn how to connect once again to those things. And so I worked a year and a half at Redeemer Lutheran Church in North Minneapolis. I don't know if anybody's familiar. And they have a community garden, and that's where I first started connecting. And I was the poet in residence and youth organizer. And so I would work with the kids and play in the dirt and try not to kill the plants and learning new things. About that experience, we had a community bread oven where we would take some of the vegetables from the garden and put it on the pizzas and have pizzas and just have a good time. Big block party, big festivals. And these were ways that we were able to reconnect to each other, reconnect to the land, and ultimately reconnect to God. Those were some of the things that I learned in those experiences. But I'm always just struck by the image of plants, how resilient and powerful they are to break through first the shell of the seed, and then through the dirt and become life, right? Out of that crushing, out of that pain and discomfort. I think that's a model for us. We can even see that in our scriptures today, in our Old Testament scriptures, which I think are in conversation with our New Testament scriptures. But there's a lot of lament, a lot of discomfort, a lot of pain. If we look back and we see the Jeremiah scripture, I like to think of Jeremiah as a blues singer. I like to call him Weepy Eyed Jerry because he sang the blues a lot. He has a lot of laments. And he was in our scripture today. He talks about he's crying out for deliverance from the danger around him. He's surrounded in this culture of violence and war, so much different from today, right? I don't know if we know anything about being in a culture of fear and anxiety and violence and war. But he talks about this, but he knows that there is hope. Even in the midst of that tragedy and trauma, he knows who to look for. He knows who to look to. And even when we move on to the psalm, the psalmist, a poet, you know, I like the psalms because it's full of poetry. But the poet, even he is going through a great deal of suffering, and he's crying out and saying, God, like, deliver me. They want to kill me. There's people out there who wish death upon me. But then we get to the New Testament. I think there's a conversation with it. There's hope in our New Testament scriptures in both James and in Mark. And so James, I think, is kind of guiding us to some of these practices that I referred to. He says, how do you do work? How do you share the gospel? How do you live a life of growth beyond our selfish ambition, beyond our ego, beyond just this only inward movement? And then in Mark, we have Jesus giving us examples of practices. He talks about humility, not always wanting to be first, not always wanting to be the center, but having the humility to welcome the children and to cultivate that community. And so I think these are practices that we can carry forward in our lives. And when I think about what I've learned in the garden and how it connects, I can't get out of my mind that image of the flower breaking through the seed, breaking through the dirt, the messiness of life. I think that's what we're called to do as well. So I wrote a piece to speak to that, to speak through raising up, to speak through breaking through, you know, and keeping that movement going forward. Growing, I like to say, rooted in faith and growing in grace. But I can't do this alone. The scriptures teach us that we have to be in faith community. We have to walk alongside each other, to hold each other accountable, as well as to celebrate and encourage each other. And so this piece is called Raise Up, but I can't do it by myself. I need you all's help with me. And so there's a refrain, a hook. When I say, what time is it? I need you all to say, it's time to raise up. You think y'all can do that with me? Yeah? All right, let's try it. What time is it?
It's time to raise up.
What time is it?
It's time to raise up.
What time is it?
It's time to raise up.
Beautiful. Give yourselves a round of applause right quick. Just, you got to honor and affirm that movement of the Spirit right there, because it's not always easy. It's not always comfortable, but we're doing this together. And so as I share this piece, I want you just to remember that image of the seed that's broken and bruised and cracked, and yet it still rises, it still grows and breaks through the soil. And that's what we're called to do, through the discomfort, to raise up. We must raise awareness as well as raise funds. So mothers and fathers can raise families, raise daughters, and raise sons who don't raise crime rates because we don't raise guns. Dreams occurred, not dreams deferred. No more raisins in the sun. Let me see you raise your fist if you raise your consciousness to make this change come. I'm talking about a love so strong, even the dead will raise up. I said a love so strong, even the dead raise up. Amen. What time is it?
It's time to raise up.
What time is it?
It's time to raise up.
So what time is it?
It's time to raise up.
Are we ready for peace or ready for war? We crown the king of dreams with a head full of thorns. A legend is born. His words are like bread to the poor. His words are like bread to the poor, so live. Each line is like breath to a corpse. Reversing effects of post-mortem rigor mortis. Each verse, a metaphor for metamorphosis. Different motive and intent. No Forbes, a celebrity endorsement. We're working towards a world in which ghettos don't exist. Everyone is rich when our soul glows from the goal within. I've been writing since I could hold a pen. Notebook was my closest friend. I wrote poems in hopes homelessness and war would end. I was so young, mind wide open then. I saw it all through a rose-colored lens until broken. But looking in your eyes gives me hope again. Dreams might be born again, so let me hear the chorus where your voices come in. What time is it?
It's time to raise up.
What time is it?
It's time to raise up.
What time is it?
It's time to
raise up. Some raise their hands for the questions. Some raise their hands for the answers. Who raises concern for the mother whose child was killed while raising their hands up? Who raises the taxes without raising the wages? Will we raise our standard of education? Will we raise our voices, raise the vibration? If it takes a village to raise a child, what will it take to raise the nation? If it takes a village to raise a child, what will it take to raise the nation? It's time to raise up. That's that piece right there. Amen, amen. Yeah. I just think about how, you know, living and working in North Minneapolis and how oftentimes that community is stigmatized and dehumanized. If you just look online and do a Google search and just Google North Minneapolis, you'll probably, first thing you'll find are all the negative, dehumanizing stories that are out there about the community, about my neighbors, my friends, and my family, right? But I believe that the Holy Spirit is active there. And my experience has been that there are a lot of beautiful, powerful people there who take care of each other, who love God, who love each other, who are connected to the land. And we're still rising from that soil. I think we all are invited into that story to push through whatever dominant, destructive narratives are out there. I mean, we live in a world, like we said, of a culture of violence and war. But Christ tells a different story. He tells a story of resurrection, that story that's in the garden of coming through the soil where there's still new life, there's still hope. And it's not easy. It takes practice. It's a discipline. Oftentimes, when we think about connecting again in right relationship and healing, we want it to be immediate, right? I know I do. We think it's just going to be an event. And sometimes experiences can be a catalyst for there to be transformation, but it's a process. It's a daily practice and a process. Healing is not an event, it's a process. And so I think Christ offers us a wealth of practices to continue to grow, to continue to heal. And some of the things that I've carried forward from my faith community, from my mentors and elders and ancestors, I have some practices that I've been able to carry with me, and I just want to share a couple with you today. One thing that one of my mentors told me is every single day, he says he doesn't leave his house until he gets his 20 minutes in of prayer and meditation, just a time of silence. And I got to be honest with y'all, I'm not there yet. I don't get my 20 minutes in every day, you know, but I'm aspiring towards that. But that time in prayer and just really connecting with God, he says that sets the tone for his entire day. He says he recognizes the difference from when he started doing it before he leaves the house, saying a prayer, connecting with the scriptures, connecting with God, and setting his intentions and what he wants to do throughout the day is a really beautiful and powerful thing for him. And then, so my wife, I just got married a couple months ago. We can celebrate that. I'm really happy about that. Yeah, thank you. But yeah. And so my wonderful wife, she has a practice where around her mirror, where she gets ready every morning, she has affirmations and little sticky notes that she's wrote down. And they're actually drawn from the Beatitudes. So scripturally rooted affirmations that remind her that she's a beloved child of the Most High God. That no matter what messaging she gets when she steps out of the door, she can be connected to those messages that she knows are true. That she's powerful, that she is loved, that she is worthy and capable, all these things. Because We get inundated with so much negative messaging throughout our lives, throughout our days, but we have to have some sort of connection to God and to our communities of faith to know who we truly are. Because when we forget that, it's all bad, and that's when we start to fall away. But yeah, I really just want to leave those practices with you. And I would love to talk with you more about other practices you have. I think that's the importance of faith community, is coming together. We can do these things that are best practiced in community, because we can't do it alone. We know we need each other. I carry forward with me a saying from my ancestors. It originated in South Africa. It's called Ubuntu, and it means I am because we are. And it talks about how we're inextricably linked into one garment of destiny, as Dr. King would say. How none of us are here by ourselves, because of ourselves, or for ourselves. We need each other. We're along this journey together. And so, I'm honored to share in this journey with you all, and I just want to affirm all of you, wherever you are on this healing journey, we're all in different phases, different stages on this journey, right? Trying to heal together, trying to reconnect with God, each other, and the land. But I want to honor and affirm and celebrate wherever you are, and I just want to share this final spoken word piece. I originally wrote this as I went to different spaces and I saw people struggling in this place I like to call the holy discomfort. I think there's a holy discomfort that God calls us to, where it doesn't necessarily feel good, but it's good for us because there's growth there. There's wisdom to be gained there. And I think we have to experience that sometimes. I felt like I wrote this just for other people, but the more that I shared it, I realized that I needed to hear it myself too. I always say we preach the messages that we most need to hear. And so this is just as much for me as it's for anyone else, but the importance of just showing up, I think that's sometimes the hardest thing to do, is to start that work, to show up in community, to show up in different spaces, and to bring your full self unapologetically. But that's when we begin to heal. Because I like how the scriptures say that when you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And God has already shown up. God is already in the garden. He's been there since the beginning. And we're invited to join in that work, in the tilling of the soil, in the nurturing, in the weeding, the whole process, pruning, all those things. We're invited to join God in that work to create that beloved community. But we got to show up. So that's what this piece is about. I'll leave this with you all as a blessing. Show up. We've each been called to this place, this time, and this season. You may not yet know the rhyme or the reason. You may not feel, think, or believe in the same things I believe in. But we've been asked to show up. Show up wherever you are from. You can come here to be free. Bring your full self, both your head and your heart, your hands and your feet, and anything and everything, infinitely beyond any duality, your sexuality, gender, race, age, or ability. We all have the ability to be. Without you, I am incomplete. Without you, there is no we. I need you not just to survive, but to thrive, become fully awake and alive with potential and possibility. Join me at the table, for it is wide and there is lots of food to eat. So show up and be fed and feed others, satiating a different kind of hunger, fueling the fire in our bellies. No matter what journey you're on, you're invited to sing a new song. All will be well when we're all welcome to laugh, cry, dance, write, breathe, and bleed into the margins and follow the call to the farthest reaches of who we are. Whether you run, walk, crawl, even if you fall, we fall in love. But just show up. Show up to answer our prophetic call to justice, to transform both the soul and the bodily world the soul inhabits. Show up with all your awkwardness and bad habits. Show up with your doubts and questions, knowing here you can ask them. Show up with your wounds and your scars. We all have baggage. But just know that together we can unpack it. This is no mistake. You're not here by accident. You are here to share the stories of your sacred passage. You are the only you there ever has been. You are not the magician. You are the magic. So show up to this place here where there's no grace period. There's only grace period. Bring your fears and insecurities, Let us marvel in the mystery. Let us listen to each other to life with a deep, holy listening. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? That's the sound of the genuine within you. The Spirit stirring near you, but if you don't show up, how can anyone hear you? Show up. Even if you don't know for certain, you may have the truth and healing for which this world is searching. In this grand universe, we are but small workers, but with a big purpose, because of our hearts widening the circle, hearts that are broken, hearts that are open, so a little light can shine through, a little hope for the hopeless. Wherever you go, simply know the Spirit of this place goes with you. So go. Ready with sleeves rolled up, always growing, never fully grown up. Ready with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Simply show up. Thank y'all for showing up. God bless you. Amen. Thank you.